Welcome to Torah Tehillim Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Meira, and today we'll be studying Parshat Vayeshev. This Parsha has four prakim from Lamed Zayin to Mem and 147 pesukim. So let's first go through an overview of the Parsha, discuss the seven aliyahs, and then let's look at one idea in a bit more depth. In the first aliyah, Yaakov has settled in Canaan, and of all his sons, his favorite is Yosef. It says that Yosef would bring him reports, dibah, about his brothers. And then it says that Yaakov gave him a special ketonet pasim. There's different interpretations what this was, whether it was a striped coat, it had colors, it was wool, it was ankle length, but it was a coat of distinction to single him out. And his brothers were very jealous of him, to the point where they couldn't bring themselves to talk to him. But Yosef seems oblivious to their bad feelings, and he insists on telling them about his dreams of greatness, which doesn't really help with the feelings. In the second aliyah, Yosef's brothers are away looking after their father's sheep, and Yaakov asks Yosef to please go and check on his brothers. When the brothers see Yosef approaching, they plot to kill him, but Reuven steps in and says, don't kill him, throw him into one of these nearby pits, with the intention that later on he will come and rescue Yosef. In the third aliyah, as Yosef arrives, the brothers strip him off of his ketonet pasim and they throw him in the pit. And it's a famous Rashi that the bor was empty, ein bo maim. It was empty, it didn't have water, but it had snakes and scorpions. But miraculously, Yosef wasn't hurt. And the brothers sit down to eat. They feel like they've done the right thing. They feel absolutely no guilt. While they're sitting and eating, a caravan of Yishmaelim come past, and Yehuda says, let's sell him. Let's get some profit out of him. So they sell Yosef to the Yishmaelim, and from the words in the Pasuk, the Midrash learns out that Yosef was sold a total of 10 times until he reached Egypt. Meanwhile, when Reuven comes back and found that Yosef is no longer in the pit, he rips his garments in despair. His opportunity to rescue Yosef has gone. The brothers then take Yosef's coat and they dip it in goat's blood because it looks like human blood, and they show it to Yaakov. And Yaakov assumes from that something happened to Yosef, and he descends into mourning for 22 years. In the fourth aliyah, the scene shifts away from Yaakov and Yosef, and now we focus on Yehuda. It says, Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda went down, Rashi says. He was demoted from his position of head of the family, meaning the brothers had looked up to him as the head. But once he gave the advice that led to Yaakov's mourning, they sort of excommunicated him. But the truth is, if you look at the psukim, it seems to be the story actually happened much earlier. It's just put here thematically to learn lessons from it, but it seemed to have happened earlier. Yehuda marries the daughter of a local businessman, and he has three sons. The first one, called Er, is married to a woman named Tamar. Er dies childless, so according to the laws of Yibum, when a man dies childless, his brother needs to marry the widow. So the next in line, Onen, marries Tamar, but he also dies. And Yehuda thinks maybe there's something wrong with Tamar, and he doesn't want to give his third son, Shelah, to Tamar. So he says, stay in your father's house until Shelah grows older. Shelah grows old enough to get married. Yehuda is not having Tamar marry Shelah, and Tamar realizes this, so she decides to take matters in her own hand. At that time, Yehuda's wife had died, and after the Shiva period, Yehuda gets up and he goes on a business trip. So Tamar disguises herself, meets Yehuda on this business trip, and is able to trick him into having a relationship with her. And she manages to extract from him his cloak, his stuff, and his signet ring. When Yehuda comes back a few months later, he realizes, well, he hears rumors that Tamar is pregnant. And so he judges her as being adulterous and orders her to be executed. As she's being taken out to die, she brings out Yehuda's cloak, stuff, and signet ring. And she doesn't embarrass Yehuda in public. She says, whoever is the owner of these things, that is the father of my child. And Yehuda could have just let her die, but he stands up very bravely and says, I am the owner. I'm the one who did this. She is more righteous than me. And the children from this union is a pair of twins, Zerach and Peretz. And Peretz becomes the one who is the progenitor of the house of Yehuda, the line of kings. Back in the fifth aliyah, we go back to Egypt, we go back to Yosef, who is now in the home of Potiphar, and we see that Hashem is with Yosef, and Potiphar becomes extremely successful because of Yosef, and Potiphar realizes this, so he puts Yosef in charge of everything. In the sixth aliyah, it mentions that Yosef is very handsome, and Potiphar's wife notices him, And she tries to seduce him. He refuses. So she frames him that he attacked her when it was really the other way around and has him thrown into jail. Hashem is still with Yosef and he finds favor in the eyes of the prison warden and he becomes in charge of all the prisoners. In the seventh aliyah, two of Paro's officers, the butler and the baker, are thrown into jail. The butler because there was a fly in Paro's drink and the baker because there was a stone in his bread. And one day Yosef notices that they're upset. They each had a dream, and in addition to dreaming their own dream, they dreamed the interpretation of their friend. So Yosef offers to interpret their dreams for them, and he tells them in 3 days' time it's going to be Paro's birthday, which, by the way, is the first mention in the Torah of a birthday, and he would bring them both out of jail. The butler would be reinstated into his position, and the baker would be killed. And sure enough, that's what happened. And as the butler is being taken out of jail, Yosef asks him to remember him to Paro. He says to him, Ki im zechartani, but if you would keep me in mind. And then he says, for his kartani al Paro, and mention me to Paro. So he says the word remember me twice. He's going to have to pay for those two mentions of remember me. But of course, the butler forgets. And not only that, Yosef now has to stay an extra 2 years in jail for the two terminologies he used to ask the butler to remember him to Paro, so that Yosef realizes when he's eventually rescued, it's because of Hashem and not because of any intervention. So that is the parasha in a nutshell. What I would like to focus on is Yosef's leadership. We'll notice in this parasha that Yosef is a man of extremes. He keeps oscillating between extreme success and extreme despair. So first, he is distinguished by a special coat, and then he is thrown into a pit, and then he becomes the head of Potiphar's house, and then he's thrown again into jail. And then next parasha, we're going to see that he's elevated to be second in command to all of Egypt. Why does he keep losing power initially? What is it? What's the fatal flaw that Yosef has that prevents him from maintaining constant power? Now, I just want to be very clear in the beginning that whenever we talk about Avot, Chas v'Shalom, we are in any capacity to criticize them. But the Torah is written in a way that we should learn from our Avot and Imahot. So based on how the story is written, the Torah clearly wants us to learn a lesson. So just working with the details as they are written, you'll notice there's a pattern in each of these cyclical progressions in power. So when it tells us that Yaakov loved Yosef, it doesn't give us any specific action or talent or reason why Yosef was beloved. It just says Ben Zekunimhu. Either it was because he is the son of Yaakov's beloved wife Rachel, or it is because in those days it was actually a position of Ben Zekunim. When a man was elderly, one of his sons would be set aside to help him walk, help him get to where he needed to go, would bring him stories from the outside. Yaakov chose to share all his teachings that he'd learned at the Yeshiva of Shem and Ever with Yosef, but it doesn't say that Yosef did anything to deserve this. Not only that, but he took this attention that he had from his father, and instead of using it to increase the bond between the rest of his brothers and their father, he drove a wedge by bringing negative stories. In his immaturity, he felt that these stories would maybe make him look better, or maybe he was a bit of a justice warrior and he wanted to see the brothers punished. But he didn't act in a way that allowed the brothers to accept reproof or allow the brothers to feel valued. And ultimately what happened is the brothers felt so betrayed by him, they decided that it was worth their while to get rid of him. And the action that they do as they throw him into the pit is they take off his garment. Then in the next cycle, when he goes to Potiphar's house, we see his progression of power is 3 stages. The first is Vayhi Hashem et Yosef. Hashem was with Yosef. Vayhi ish matzliach. He was a successful man. Vayhi bevet Adonav ha-Mitri. And he was in the house of his master the Mitri. So it's vague. Who was the successful man? So some commentaries want to say that as soon as he came to Potiphar's house, Potiphar started being more successful. And this caused Potiphar to pay attention. Then we see the second stage. Vayara Adonav ki Hashem ito. The master saw that Hashem was with him. V'chol asher hu aseh, Hashem atzliach be'ado. Anything he touched, Hashem made him successful. What it means, Rashi tells us that ki Hashem ito, it says the name of Hashem shagurov bapeh. He was always davening to Hashem. Please Hashem, help me be successful. Thank you Hashem. He had a very acute awareness that his success was directly from Hashem. So Potiphar makes the connection between his material success and Yosef's connection to Hashem. So he keeps elevating Yosef to positions of power so that he can benefit until ultimately he's in charge of everything. When Yosef eventually achieves as much power as he possibly can, it says Yosef was Yafei To'ar V'Yafei Mar'eh, which Rashi explains. When he saw that he achieved a level of leadership, he began to eat and drink and fix his hair. Now Hashem said, your father's busy mourning and you're there fixing your hair. I'm going to cast you down from your position of power. And sure enough, the wife of Potiphar starts making advances on him. And even then, you see how Yosef has become tainted with a little bit of arrogance, because when he's refusing her advances, he says, "Enenu gadol b'bayit hazeh mimeni." There's no one in this house greater than me. So he's starting to internalize, thinking that this greatness is because of him. And what happens? Potiphar's wife grabs his garment. In order to escape, he has to slip out of his garment and leave it in her hands. And she now uses this as proof to get him thrown in jail. So again, his change in power is symbolized by his change of garment. And then, in the third round of power, Yosef is now in jail. But this time we see a slight difference. Vayhi Hashem et Yosef, Hashem's with Yosef. But this time we don't see Matzliach straight away. We say Vayet alav chesed. He gave him, he extended to him kindness. And he gave him favor in the eyes of the warden of the prison. This time, Yosef is aware that the reason he's successful is not because of his intrinsic self-worth or talent, but because Hashem is being kind to him. And this allows him, in turn, to extend this kindness. When he sees that the baker and the butler are depressed, he inquires after them and he says, "What's wrong? Why are you sad?" He offers to interpret their dreams, but he's humble. He says, "Hashem is the one who interprets dreams. Tell me." And then what happens in the next parsha, actually, he is rushed out of jail. And it says, "Vayishlach Paro," and Paro sent, "Vayikrat Yosef," and he called for Yosef, "Vayiritzuhu min habor," they hurried him out of the pit, "Vayagalach," they shaved him, "Vayachalav simlasav," they changed his garments. Again, this garment business. Now, where does garments first feature in this parasha? It's when Yaakov gives Yosef his ketonet pasim. And I always wondered, why did Yaakov reward Yosef for his lashon hara about his brothers with a ketonet pasim? So most of the commentaries say that it was a mark of distinction to show that he played a special role. But I would like to suggest a different reasoning. Perhaps Yaakov was giving Yosef a bit of a warning. He was telling him, "Yosef, success in life is not intrinsic. It's not anything that you did, that you earned, or you deserved. It's something like a garment, something that you put on, something that Hashem gives you as a gift, and it's your job to wear it, and it's your job to use it specifically for the betterment of others. But if you misuse it and you misunderstand that your brachas in life are not you, it's something that's put on you, then you get it taken off, just like a garment is taken off." And if you look at each stage of when Yosef loses power, his brothers rip off his ketonet pasim. That's when he loses his position of power amongst his brothers. Potiphar's wife grabs his garment and he loses his position of power in Potiphar's house. But what happens when he is in the jail, when he helps the baker and the butler? There, where it says he realizes that all of his greatness was a gift from Hashem, and there where he focuses on other people, then what happens? V'yachalaf begadav, he's given new garments. This time, Yosef is very careful. When Paro asks him to come and interpret the dreams, he is very careful to attribute everything to Hashem. And when he is finally given his power, which is symbolized by Paro giving him a special silk garment, it's symbolic that this time Yosef is very aware that the power that he has is not intrinsic reflection of himself, but it's a gift from Hashem, and he has a deep sense of responsibility as he wears his new leadership. And you see this concept throughout Tanakh of garments being symbolic of leadership and rulership. When the very first king, Shaul, doesn't fulfill Hashem's word, the Navi Shmuel reproves him, turns his back on him, and Shaul grabs his garment and he accidentally tears it. And Shmuel says to him, "You are going to lose your kingdom, and the person who will inherit your kingdom from you will tear your coat." And sure enough, David tears off a piece of Shaul's garment when he finds him in a cave. It's really to prove that he could have killed Shaul, but it's also symbolically taking off his power, because now David is going to assume that power. Conversely, when David is the king and he's bringing the Aaron up to Jerusalem, what does he do? He takes off his royal clothes and he wears a plain simple linen tunic and he lifts up his garment so he can dance with all his strength. And then when his wife Michal, who's actually the daughter of Shaul, sees him and gets upset, he explains, no, even when I'm the normal king, I'm just doing it on Hashem's agency. I represent Hashem. But Hashem is the true ruler. And today is the day, especially for Hashem, when we bring in the Aaron up. I don't want anyone to think of me in any capacity as king. Today, only Hashem is king. And to make it absolutely clear, I'm not wearing my royal garment and I will act like the normal people because Hashem is everyone's king. He is able to make that distinction between power as a robe in place of power being intrinsic. Michal is unable to make that distinction. Her father Shaul is unable to make that distinction. And that's why the line of kingship ultimately leaves the line of Shaul and is given over instead to the line of David. So we see from here that to be a true leader, you need to appreciate that the gifts that Hashem has given you and the authority that's been invested in you is something you wear like a robe. You put it on when you need it, but you don't mistake it for your own skin and you take it off when you're done. And I think this is the message for ourselves in our everyday lives as we reflect on how Sefer Bereshit is the book of bracha and understanding how we achieve bracha and how to maintain the bracha in our lives. We have to realize the bracha that is given to us is nothing we deserve, it's nothing that we earned, and it's nothing intrinsic about us. It's something that Hashem puts on us like a sweater, and we enjoy wearing it. We do our best to wear it well and use it for the benefit of mankind. And as long as we don't mistake it for our skin, Hashem allows us to enjoy it. But once we start identifying the gift and the outer layer as being our true essence, then sometimes Hashem has to take it away from us so that we realize where the bracha all comes from. So this coming week, let's be cognizant of all the brachas that Hashem envelops us with and allows us the privilege of wearing, and let's utilize it for the good of all the people around us and the good for Am Yisrael. Have a wonderful week.